वते वासुदेवाया नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रयेषु अपद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवत्युतम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्टिके नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदान्त स्वामी नित्यनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवारी भस्कत्यादेशतारिणे हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणामामि हरि प्रिये प्रणामामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरूपैश्च कृपा सिन्धुभैव च मदितानं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
obviously now where we have a few lectures and a few let me say a little time to be together I have thought deeply what I will present to all of you. For me, a lecture can either be very boring or inspiring. A lecture can just tell things which cannot be imported into my own life and thought system. Or it can be full of subjects, topics, solutions even, which can be applied in my life, like keys which open doors which were closed up to this moment. For a lecture to be inspiring and to be, let me say, a key lecture, which we say it's a keynote address, two things need to be there. The speaker needs to be realized in what he says, and the audience needs to be willing and interesting to receive inspiration. So I always, when I sit down, I hope that somehow these two components come together, and then the spark, the divine spark, can jump from the not really from the speaker, through the mouth of the speaker. It can jump to the heart of the audience, and then the connection is made and inspiration can flow. So I will talk about something which I feel is really the key for advancement in spiritual life in relationship to our katha, which takes place in the afternoon, I believe from 6 to 8 o'clock. So I've taken a verse here from the Bhagavatam, which I think you will like very, very much. It starts with here we are. Here it is. 6, 11, 24. Ja. It's one of my favorite verses, really, in Krishna consciousness. And I was chanting this in a very unusual circumstance. I was alone in the Himalayan mountains. I was walking in an area where no foreigner was allowed to walk because I wanted to come to a place, a holy place of pilgrimage, where it is said that there is a very long living saint. He's not exactly a Chiranjeev, that means someone who just never dies, but he is really long living. And it is said when you go to him with a sincere question, he will answer you. So the saint was lying beyond government control, you know, in some politically undefined area between China and India. And I had made a point. I wanted to visit him, so I sneaked by the passport controls and went there. And on the way, I recited some shlokas. And one of the verses which I had in my verse book was catching my special attention. And I was again and again and again reciting it. And it's the sixth canto, chapter 11, text 24. I will recite it in Sanskrit for you. I'm sorry I missed to have it written down for you. So, but you will understand everything when you hear it. Aham harita vapadai kamula dasanudaso bhavitasmi bhuya manasmarita supate gunangste grinita vakarma karotikaya. Could you be so kind to repeat after me? Aham haritava, aham haritava, padaika mula, dasanudaso, bhavitasmi bhuya, manasmaritasu, pate gunangste grinita vak karma karotikaya. It's a prayer which came from the mouth of a very, very interesting personality. It was a great, great devotee who, due to a slight mistake, had been cursed to be reborn in the family of demons. And he took on a demoniac body, but inside, somehow, he remained faithful to Krishna and as a great devotee. Now, because of him, this Bhagavatam has received a lot of attention in the Garuda Purana. The Garuda Purana writes that the Bhagavatam is excellent because in it the story of Maharaj Chitraketu, who was cursed to become a demon, is told. And now, as the end of this demoniac birth ends for this unusual personality, he all of a sudden, you know, he's in the midst of a battle against Indra und die himmlischen Heerscharen. How do you say the heavenly heavenly armies, you know, and he just stops everything and starts to pray. And Indra thinks, what? This is a great devotee. I thought he is a demon, but he is the greatest of all devotees. And he really was shocked, you know. So the prayer which Vritasura, who was formerly Chitraketu, said are so wonderful. The Prabhupada says they give the sum and substance, that's the essence of bhakti or devotional service. And I think now you are sufficiently interested to know what is this amazing prayer. Please don't talk any longer, Maharaj. Give us the prayer. Yes. It is just now coming. So Vritasura says, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? Will you bless me? Will I leave this association of in this world and go to that association, your loving servants? Will I join their company? O Lord of my life, I wish that I again become the servant of your servants, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words will always glorify those qualities of yours, and my body will always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. I pray like this, that I become a servant of your devotees, so that my mind, words, and body are always engaged in giving you pleasure. So Prabhupada writes a beautiful, very succinct, it means short but powerful purport. I would like to read this to you. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Dasanu Dasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is known as the maintainer of the gopis. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasanu Dasa. This means, you know, to become a servant of the servant of Krishna. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one three properties. Can you imagine what the three properties are? Body, mind, yes, and words. One must engage these, body, mind, and words. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of this master. The mind should think of Krishna without stoppage, incessantly. And one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Please do make a mark in your note in your notebooks. Canto 6, chapter 11, text 24. We have already offered our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, so I will, with your permission, start now in all earnestness. My dear devotees, the last weeks where I was invited to speak in different occasions, and one was to address the devotees at the end of the Kartik Mass, the Kartik Vrata, in the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. And on the way, now, and before this, actually, I had a discussion with one of my friends in Krishna consciousness, a dear God brother, who wanted to share a realization with me, which he had made. He had read in some Christian book something. He needed to prepare for some address in the Christians, and he felt he needed to prepare a lecture which he needed to give in some Christian assembly, and he had prepared himself, and he had found a point which deeply touched his heart. And he shared this point with me. He said, you know, I read this, that there are many meditational techniques and many procedures, many different philosophical valuable philosophical description of the absolute truth. But really, in the foreground, before everything else comes, it's important to know about what, how to surrender to God. He had read this. He said, we can do so many meditational techniques. We can have so many philosophical ideas. We can really listen to so many descriptions and do various religious activities like attending ceremonies, etc. But all these things only give a fruit if we, the soul, say to the Lord, I'm yours. I have learned my lesson, my independent plans, and my independent, activities to better my life are of not much use for me. Now I wish to know what is your plan for me, what is your interest, and I want to surrender to that. And only when the soul takes this position will his spiritual life come forth. If he does not yet surrender to Krishna, then he will always remain in the shadows of real spiritual life. He will move about only in concepts. He will cheat himself and maybe even others. And so on. Only the entrance gate to the kingdom of God is a little door, and it has a shield on the door. It's Sharanagati, surrender. That is the door you have to find in your life. So he was sharing like this to me, and I was sitting there in the land of Vrindavan, the monkeys were making their noise on the roofs, temple bells were in the distance, and he looked into my eyes and he said, Maharaj, this is the true path, also in our line. And I thanked him and thought about it, and then I remembered many things which my own spiritual master had, how he had impressed me. Once he said, to spread this movement, I was walking through fire. I was walking through fire. It was not easy. It was difficult. But I did this to please my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And I knew Prabhupada gave the example of a Sharanagati Vaishnav person, a personality who had surrendered himself completely, 100%, to the orders of his spiritual master and the plan of God. I have a very exalted God brother, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who has in the past often lectured about Srila Prabhupada's prayers, which he wrote when he came to America. He had lectured about this in public assemblies and also to devotees, because he felt the best way to know Srila Prabhupada is to study this prayer. And yes, that is absolutely correct, because in that prayer you can feel Prabhupada's pulse. You know what is in his heart. That's you know, when someone prays, you know that's in his heart. And there he expresses the mood of a fully surrendered soul by just so sweetly saying, "Krishna, you brought me here to this foreign place." He talks of America, obviously. I don't know how these people who live in America will accept what I have to tell them. Prabhupada was highly doubtful, you know. He thought when he would mention the four regulative principles, they would get up and say, "Thank you, goodbye, Swamiji," you know. So Prabhupada felt in his heart, I don't know how I will convince him of your message. But then he turns to the Lord and as a surrendered soul, and he said, "Anyways, you have brought me here. I'm like a puppet in your hands. And you are the puppet master who moves me. Now, make me dance. Make me dance. Make me dance as you wish." You know, that is a Sharanagati Vaishnava soul. He has given up his plan, the puppet, in the puppet theater, has no plan. You know, he will just wait when it goes left, right, straight, backwards. Now sleep, clump. He will fall in the bed and sleep, the puppet. Now get up at maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. But he doesn't say no. If the puppet master goes, he's there, ready for the action. And so on. This is real spiritual life. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaks about this. In one verse, "Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Are Sababritya, Tare Yaiche Nachaye." Meaning is, sorry, I forgot the last segment. Meaning is, there's only one controller. Oh, everyone else is his servant and dances the way he makes them dance. Maybe Prabhupada took his poetic expression in his arrival prayer from this shloka, where it is very nicely said how you should consider yourself in devotional life. Sum and substance of devotional life is to become a servant again, a surrendered servant. Not even directly of Krishna, but of a servant who is a servant, who is a servant of Krishna. The more you are moved in the service line, the more you are in contact with Krishna, because Krishna is approached through the quality of dainya, or humility. So if you stand directly next to Krishna and say, "I'm Krishna's servant," that is not as favorable for the idea of devotion as when you say, "I'm very fallen, I'm at the end of the list here. I'm serving the devotees who serve Krishna." That is more favorable, and Krishna finds more pleasure when a devotee stands in the line of the servants, you know, somewhere, and not jumps forward. Very important, I'm next to the... like this. So yes. I think when we hear these very clear words, which we have most probably read in Srila Prabhupada's writing, I don't think it is new for anyone who is connected with Krishna consciousness that we believe in the path of surrender, we have two reactions. One is a certain warm feeling in the heart where we know, yes, that's the best. That's really the best. That moment when I'm a surrendered soul who doesn't make so many plans, I lose all my anxieties because I'm no longer responsible alone. I have given my life to Krishna and so on. But then we also think, oh, no more plans. Oh, no more. No more independent activity, but what about my holidays? and so on. We have become a little bit shocked about this and a little bit inconvenienced. And I think the reason is because we have a little mistaken means wrong understanding of what the path of Sharanagati really is, the path, and what it means for us in practice. So I would like to really speak about this, and my mission is, or my reason why I've chosen to speak about this, you will understand Akrura's journey to Vrindavan and how he eventually meets Krishna much, much better when you understand the path which he took. The path to Krishna is not a path, which the GPS can tell you. Left, right, take this highway, then pass by this town. No. The path to Krishna is shown in another GPS, it is shown by the sadhus, by the scriptures, by the gurus. It's the path of surrender. The Brahma Vaivata Purana tells us that between us and Krishna is a very difficult obstacle, a very, very difficult to cross mountain. And anyone who wants to go there, he has to know what that mountain is and what the path is. I remember when the Dalai Lama was attacked in Tibet in Lhasa by the Chinese people. They wanted to actually imprison him and in this way capture the head of the Tibetan world, if you so want, and thus control Tibet much faster. But in the last moment, the Dalai Lama got notice that the Chinese were coming with their iron snake and their iron birds. That's the train system and the airplanes towards Lhasa, and he decided to flee to India, but there was a very difficult to cross mountain in between, the Himalayan mountain range. They're called the Trans-Himalayan Mountain, der Trans-Himalaya. It's big mountains there. The biggest mountains are 8,000 and something high there. And he needed really persons who knew the path which would help him. You can't climb an 8,000 mountain, if there's an airwolf. How will you do this? You need to know the path around and forward. It's a beautiful saga of modern politics, how he escaped and by what path and what difficulties he encountered. But it's a very brave story of a person who is very convinced to defend his opinions and his belief and so on. Anyways, the scriptures talk about something similar. They say, for the conditioned soul, there is a big mountain range. It's not the Trans-Himalaya, but it's the mountain of Aham and Mameti. Aham means the ego, I am, and Mameti, the extension. It's the world which the ego constructs around him, like a child who works in his sandbox and creates his own little houses and so on. Mine, my. I and mine. That is the mountain which we have to face, and the path which leads over this mountain into freedom is the path of Sharanagati, or the path of surrender. The path starts by hearing about Krishna. It's called Shravanadasa, the level of you need to hear on this path and hear so much about Krishna. Means that's the beginning, right? Or this is, let me say, no, the path is, I want to be more clear to you. The path of Sharanagati, we all have heard about the six items, but there are five stations which, when you cross your own Himalaya mountain in the heart, huh, then you see, you come to different levels in your spiritual life. And I thought it's very interesting if we can understand these five stations. You know, when we walk, we should know that we are on the right, that we pass the right stations. Maybe you expressed the same trouble which our devotees who came with me to Goloka Dham experience. We were trying to come here, but all of a sudden we noticed, my God, we are passing the wrong towns here. Where are we? We went totally wrong. We don't want to go to Cologne. No Cologne. Cologne. We were on the way to Cologne. We need to go direction of Trier. Bingen. Oh yeah. Ooh. So when you want to advance in your spiritual life, you need to see that you're not going to the wrong places. You need to see that you are going to the right places. And here this description is given. Shravanadas, this is how you start. You hear Krishna, his pastimes, how he is, what he thinks. You hear about the mind of God, his thoughts. Then you hear the holy name, the Majkirtan. Woo, it purifies your heart. Shravanadas. Then, next. Varandas. Varan means you accept. Oh yeah, this sounds very good. This is my life. This is what I wish to do. Varandas. Then, as you continue, you accept even initiation. I want to be guided on this path. This is for me. I will accept also outwardly. I will accept Tulsi Mala, Tulsi Kanti Mala. I will accept this. I will accept Tilak. Ooh, yeah. I have this mark. This means I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm convinced of this. It means also, look, my path goes upward, not downwards. Like this. Do you see? This is the meaning of Tilak. And in my, between these two walls, left and right, Radha and Krishna live. These are my God. This is my God. You know, you go like this. You accept it. Yes, that's me. I have a person who wants to become initiated. I know a person who wants to become initiated in Krishna conscious, but he has not accepted these things. He is not really on the same web page as we all are. And, I'm saying, first get on the same web page, then let us talk about how to move from there. So this is Varandas, acceptance. Then comes Smarandasha. Smarandasha means you begin to fill the activities of your mind with thoughts about this Krishna conscious world. Smaran, first of all, you only occasionally remember, like maybe in the lecture, and then when the lecture stops, you forget everything. That's the beginning of Smaran. You know, but during the lecture, maybe for 1 minute, you think, wow, what a point, you know, and you remember this for 30 seconds. This is how your smaran starts. At the end, when you are really going deeply into your remembrance, you will come to samadhi, where this is all the time in your mind and in your heart. It's just there, like a uninterrupted flow of nectar. The thoughts of Krishna come to you, and then come other levels of apana. You attain bhava, that means love for Krishna, and it is in your whole being. You are always about your life is, oh, what likes Krishna, what is Krishna. I'm remembering, I just had to write something like accompanying words, something for a wonderful book which is being published, and there the devotee Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu is his name, I believe. Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu from Chaitanya Chandra. What is his name from? No, from Gadaigiri. Chaitanya Chandra, yeah, moon. He had written about the Brijbasis, how they are always, Apanadas, having this love in their heart for Krishna. And he said he once had to buy some ornaments for the Krishna Balaram deities in Bhuvaneshwara. And he said, he told the Mukutwala, the person who makes crowns and ornaments for deities, please do this. Can you do it immediately? And he said, yes, I will do according to your specification. And he gave the order to one man who was making the ornaments. And Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu was waiting while the ornaments were readied for him to take home to Krishna Balaram. So during this time, he saw many Brijbasis coming into this shop who needed something. And they usually worship Krishna as a little boy, Ladu Gopal. Because Krishna was there when he was in Vrindavan, when he was a small boy, and they would all pray to Krishna, please come to my home and steal my yogurt and my sweets and so on. They would feed him like this. This was their bhava, like a parental bhava. Like they see Krishna more like a little child. So they all came. So many came, five or so, to order something for their small Ladu Gopal, and they always have him with him, like a mother cannot go without the child anywhere. So they take the deity with them, and Chaitanya Chandra noticed that they were welcomed by the Mukutwala, the person who sold ornaments. And usually in Vrindavan, they have maybe learned this from ISKCON, they offer you a fruit juice when you wait, so that you have something to do and don't run out and do something else. So when these glasses of fruit juice were offered to the Brijbasis, they always asked for a straw, and then they would take the fruit juice and take their Ladu Gopal out and offer it to Ladu Gopal first. And only after some time, when the little Krishna had drunken the juice, they were asking for a separate straw, and they were drinking the prasadam remnants for themselves. So he remembered this with many Brijbasis who came like this. He saw that they have bhava, they had love in their hearts. You know, Isn't it a nice, you know, this person goes shopping and a fruit juice is offered to him. He said, not for me, it's for Krishna. And he offers to Krishna. This is a very good bhava, a very good mood for Krishna. And then finally Prapanna Dasa comes. It's a Vastu city. Vastu city means you are in your eternal spiritual body and you are directly communicating with Krishna with deep loving emotions called raga. No? So that is the journey for all of us. Shravandas, we hear. Then Varandas, we accept. Have you already accepted? Maybe some of you are still in the little rebellious mood, or you have not really made the endeavor to look what is there. What is there to for you to accept? Then you get into filling your mind with this. It's called Smarandasha, and then the love can come and bring you back home, back to Godhead, where in your constitutional position you serve Krishna as a servant of the servants who uses all his words, all his body, and everything in Krishna's service. This is the path. These are some stations on the path. Now, to go on this path, you should make yourself familiar with a few points. The first point, which is very important for this, is that you must know you are not the body. Without this understanding, that you at least theoretically understand, I'm an eternal soul. I have nothing to do with this little world of ahammameti, which I've constructed with my false ego around me. Bhakti will be very difficult. It's very difficult. Because it's the soul who is a part of Krishna. The body and the mind is a part of this world. And it will disintegrate. The body will disintegrate one day and turn into earth and fire and all the other elements. The mind is also constantly changing. So you must perform bhakti from that platform. I'm a part of Krishna. That means I'm a soul. It's very important. Especially you must do this during your sadhana, when you chant Hare Krishna. The last few days when I came back to the West, I had so many thoughts, so many emails, like all of you, maybe even a little more than some of you. So many projects, so many questions, what is about this, will you come to this country, and so on. And whenever I was trying to sit down into my japa, I was thinking, oof, oh, I have to tell my secretary to write this email. Oh, I forgot this. And oh, what is about this? And oh, whew, I have to write this article. Ooh, only one more hour is left, and then the deadline is there. And I was just all the time in this, you know, in these thoughts which relate to my physical existence in this world. But because I had just come from Mayapur and had lectured about this in our Kirtan Academy, there, a wonderful Kirtan Academy under the desire trees of the Dham, I remembered. Now, Sachinandan Swami, leave your little world of Ahamameti. You have to somehow connect now with Krishna. And the first and most simple way to do this is through this type of prayer, which comes now from the mouth of this Vritasura. You know, he is Chitraketu, a great king who was cursed by Parvati, the powerful material energy, to take on the body of a demon. He is now battling with Indra, and it looks as if he is winning the battle. And all of a sudden, he noticed, I don't want to win this battle. I want to go back to my Lord. I want to win another battle. I want to be victorious over the material illusion and come back as a servant of Krishna. So, I think when we are chanting, we should do the same thing as Viritasura. We may have so many thoughts, and this needs to be arranged, and that needs to be arranged. But stop it for a moment. Just say, I want to dance in another ballroom. I want to win another battle. My priority is in another life than this. My priority is in spiritual life. And you can think, I'm the servant of Krishna. Now I have the chance to glorify him. Now this is my private time with the Lord. And you disconnect for a moment, only 2 hours, or how much time you have set aside for your chanting. You could disconnect from that world and just enter the other world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Like where you say, oh, the simple translation is, all, please engage me in your servant, in your service, but here is an extended one. Oh, my Lord, oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? Will this day come that I will again be in your company with all these other devotees? Oh, Lord of my life, Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. You know, without this desire, there is no question of being a bhakta. A bhakta must have, Mahaprabhu taught this as the ideal bhakta, must have these feelings of separation. It's called viraha. That's the path our Gauranga Mahaprabhu has shown us. You know, where you long, oh Krishna, where are you? No? Prabhupada, once I remember we were in Paris, we had visited him, and it was during the lecture time, and he said, I will teach you a song. He didn't give a lecture, but he made us music students. You know, I will teach you a song now. And then there were some papers were distributed, and the song was the Sat Goswami Astakam. And there's one stanza, one verse, it goes like this. He Radhe Braja Devike Chalalite, He Nanda Suno Kuta. It's a very, very wonderful song. It is describing the life of the Goswamis who were walking sometimes at the Yamuna bank, sometimes near Govardhan Hill, and they were always calling, Hey Radhe! Oh Radha! Where are you? And oh Nanda Suno, Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, where are you now? I want to know this. Where are you? I want to find you. And Prabhupada said, this is the mood in which the devotees should conduct their bhakti. This mood. He taught us personally. And still remember, he had his karatals and very systematically taught us the whole song. And so on. Now, I want to be practical. You have heard now so many things, and you will maybe remember something. Maybe I should tell you a story, then you remember for sure the story. But I want to give you a little practical suggestion how you could walk this path during the Sangha Mela, the path of Sharanagati. Is this of interest to you, Ananda Varan?
Yes.
Yeah? Something that you can practically do now. Okay? Everyone, perk your ears. Bhaktivinod Thakur has written a song book. It's called Sharanagati. I highly recommend it to you. It's really like a Lebensbegleiter, the song book. It is something you should always have close by, you know, either in your carry-on bag or somewhere in your book collection at home. This is a very good book. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his devotees they should regularly sing these songs. And when he left his body, he sang a song from this collection. There is a section. It's called Bhakti Anakula Matra Kayera Svikar, to accept activities that are favorable for your devotional service. That's how you can practically walk, you know. These are the steps you can take. You start really from a platform of humility. My Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your dasa. I'm not what it seems to be. I'm like Vritasura. Outside, I look in one way, but inside, I'm totally different. And so on. So here is some steps. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I will carefully engage in all those activities that are favorable for your devotional service. I will execute all those activities favorable with the help of my senses. I have this body. I will faithful, and now he starts. I will start by faithfully hearing the discussions of your glories. This is how I start. I will hear about you, Krishna, so much. I remember we were in Kamyavan, and I was physically a little exhausted because we had just completed our, retreat? Vashana retreat. But then one of the devotees who were with us gave me his mobile telephone, and there was a lecture of His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj. And I thought, let me hear. And as he was explaining, and I faithfully heard about Lord Chaitanya, dealing so sweetly with the arrogant Kashmiri scholar Keshava Kashmiri, I felt so much happiness in my heart and so eager to now engage in devotional service. This is how you have to start your path of Sharanagati. Hear regularly. Prabhupada wrote us once a letter in Germany about this. He said, my critic with you is you don't read my books. He was very clear. When he visited Germany, I remember he sat in that Vyasasana and he said, so do you know this verse? Oh, by Krishna's mercy, I knew the verse, but I knew if I would now try to quote it, I would be so nervous that I would forget it. You know, like sometimes when you sing before thousands of devotees and you think, oh, how was this song? You have sung it 50,000 times, but because you are now nervous, you don't recall it. So I must say, I knew this verse by Krishna's mercy, but I know better. I don't say anything. I get the source. I know it. Because he wants to make the point that we all need to read more. And then after this, he wrote us a letter. Prabhupada was so much on this point. He said, when you don't read the books, after some time there will be no more Haribol, Haribol. All this will go. You will give up this path. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says here, I will faithfully hear the discussions of your glories that we will do in the afternoon. Then he says, I will see your abode to my eyes' full satisfaction. I like this very much. He wants to go on pilgrimage. He wants to see Godrum Dweep and Gangama and so on. Those of us who have made pilgrimages to the Holy Dham have seen how much strength comes from the earth on which Krishna personally has walked and is still walking. So I will see your abode. So much I will see it that my eyes will get full satisfaction. My recommendation for you is, why don't you get some nice photographs and you put them in your house, and then you remember. We will show you a slideshow, which is just now in the production. I don't know when we will do it, but it will. The devotees who are producing this slideshow, who went with me on that Kamyavan Yatra, where we walked in Kamyavan, and we will share this with you, and you will see how satisfied your eyes become just by seeing Krishna's home. I will maintain my body by respectfully honoring your remnants of food. I will go and take what is from your plate, Krishna. I will go there. I will smell the sweet aroma of that prasad and tulasi leaves. This is good, you know. Use your senses. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. The senses are roads which transport impressions. Constantly something is coming in over these roads. So use these same senses which give you material information by hearing about Krishna, by seeing Krishna's dham, by eating Krishna's food, by smelling the aroma of prasad. I will engage my hands in your service, and I will continuously reside in your abode. This is what the Bhakti Shastras say. If you can't reside physically in the holy dham, do so at least mentally. I will dovetail my desires in your service. You know, I have desires. I like music. I like to do something. But I will dovetail my desires in your service. I will make bhajans for you. And I like to do something. Yeah, let me start a project and so on. Let me invite people to my home. And I'm an angry person. I'm a modern person. But I will display my anger towards those who are envious of you, Krishna, not against your devotees. My anger against the devotees, that will not come out. I will let it come out against the materialist, if it has to come out at all. In this way, all my propensities, it means my inclinations, you know, the way I am, and the dealings will become favorably engaged in your devotional service. Whatever is favorable for your devotees, I will accept that as favorable for your devotional service. You know, you should never think to make advancement by hurting another devotee. That it will not work. You must see that somehow you please the devotees. That is what he's saying here. What is favorable for your devotees, I accept that as favorable for your devotional service. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur does not know what is religiosity and what is irreligiosity. I'm not interested in all these complex rules. He simply desires that all of his activities become favorable. Favorable means good, inspiring for the execution of devotional service to the Lord. That is song one of this, and you might like to run into our bhakti shop here, visit the shop and see if you can purchase the Sharanagati song collection. It's really, really very, very instructive, and those who orient their lives according to this path, they become very happy in devotional service. You will see this this afternoon, starting this afternoon. Actually, we started yesterday already. In the life of Akura, for his situation in life, it was good to stay in the government of who? Kamsa, yes. Outwardly, he was a Kamsadasa. Because this is the way, was the way how he could have darshan of Krishna and serve him in various ways. So we will hear now how this extraordinary devotee is, this often misunderstood devotee is making his journey to the meeting of Krishna. We will hear this in the afternoon. We will actually we will also meditate a little, so better rest sufficiently, so that you are able to participate in the in Akura's meditations on the way to Vrindavan. But what I wanted to say in essence is, we may speak of so many paths, so many techniques, but if we don't open the door to the house of bhakti, which has this label Sharanagati, surrender, then it will be a little difficult and very theoretical. Our bhakti will be very theoretical. Well, by this path of surrender, bhakti becomes very practical and very, you get fruits which you can immediately relish and taste. And it's not so difficult, that was my point, as we sometimes think. You accept simply what is favorable for your path. And what is favorable to you may not be favorable for someone else. Look at Akrura. I think we should not all become Kamsadasas now. You know, but it was for him. Look at Viritasura, his life. We need to find what is favorable on our path. And for that we have the direction of Sadhu, Guru and Shastra. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. All the best. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful festival here. I can't wait really for the 6-hour kirtan when we go from 1 year to the next, when 2014 dies and 2015 is born. I can't wait for that. Hare Krishna. We have now no time actually for questions because it's late, isn't it, Gaurahari? If there is one quick question, Ananda Vakhdan.
My question is, how could...
we give you a microphone.
Yeah, thank you. How could Viritasura, was definitely a devotee and had his body of a demon, act as a demon and fight even against the devotees?
Indra, yeah. How could he do this?
Yes.
May I know, so that I understand the depths of the question, is it a question of you want to understand his psychology a little better, or how could he, wie hat er das machen können, über sich bringen können?
Yeah, like to act definitely against every devotional rules.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we should follow his example, by the way. There are a couple of highly interesting answers to this question. Let me start with an answer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who gives us a surprising perspective on the pastimes of Lord Krishna. There he says, even the people who, so to say, oppose Krishna, in Chaitanya Leela it's Jagai and Madai, in Krishna Leela it's Yatila, who's always, too much, you know, and so on. They play a role in Krishna's pastimes. Otherwise, it can't go on. And so I think a devotee like Chitraketu, who had the personal darshan of Lord Sankarshan, I mean, he's not just Heinz Müller from Untertupflingen, you know. So he is bringing out a certain point in Krishna's pastime. And therefore, somehow Krishna willed him to do like that. That's one answer, which is a very safe answer and very plausible, sehr plausible. But you, knowing you so well, and knowing that you are more interested in the delicate points of our philosophy, I will now move a little deeper in my answer and give another perspective. So, on one level, he was serving the transcendental pastimes of the Lord by taking on this role, almost like someone who in a theater plays the bad guy, so to say. On another level, I think he brings out the most essential of principle of bhakti, which Prabhupada calls the sum total, the essence of devotional life, the sum and substance of devotional life, that are his words. That no matter in what circumstances you find yourself, you should always, you know, be surrendered to Krishna and be in Krishna consciousness. I would express it in modern terms. Whatever life throws at you, you may be slim, you may be fat, you may be successful, you may be not successful, you may be praised, you may be defamed, you know, whatever life throws at you. It's not that you should choose these things to be fat or to be whatever, you know, but whatever, or defamed or these negative things, but whatever life brings to you, you should not compromise with your bhakti. That's the most important thing. It's about that. It's not about, his example is not devotees of Krishna now fight with each other like Viratasura, who fought against Indra and the Devatas, who the devotees. That's not the point. He was cursed like this. The curse of poverty bewildered his intelligence totally. He didn't see, he saw an enemy where there was a friend. You know, when poverty curses you, with the material energy. But see, that's why he is glorified. He still kept his devotion strong. But, so whatever we are going through in life, you know, it is, we may be up, we may be down. You know, this happens. We may be highly enthusiastic, or we may be depressed, all the people in the, like you know, 50,000 people of a mental institution. That same amount of depression may be with us, you know, for some reason. Our wife may have, you know, that happens. I just met someone who was almost committing suicide because the husband had left her with three children. Hare Krishna. For heavy. And I said, so what are you going to do? I'm going to buy a revolver. The lady said, I didn't know what she wanted to do. Maybe her husband or herself, she wanted to use the... I said, don't do it. No need. This is what the experience of material life is. Take darshan of Krishna and pray to him. You are my true goal. I want to go to you. I will tolerate this extreme pain, you know, of having been left by my husband after three children, you know. Ananda Vardhan and all of you, Life will throw some obstacles at us. It has to come. We have this type of karma. Otherwise, we would be liberated soul. It will come. The question is not how will you avoid it. You can't avoid it. You will be old, Anandavana. Even you will die, although you have a whole homeopathic apotheker, you know, and you are Anandavana. Oh, he is our doctor in the Dharma castle. He is not any ordinary soul. He is the doctor, and so on. But also you will become sick. It will not be. It's unavoidable. And the point is, you should go on strong with your Krishna consciousness as much as you can. That is what Vritta says. Imagine you are cursed and you feel all of a sudden like, I want to fight with devotees, you know. You feel this in your mind. You know, so much demon. And then you grin and two teeth are coming out, you know. That is heavy. Ooh. Transformation in the negative direction, you know. But you say, no matter what, I will serve Krishna. You know, that is the idea of bhakti, you know. How he could do it, his intelligence was bewildered by the curse of poverty.